This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, hour two rolling along. Good Wednesday to you. Yeah, it's August 2nd. We get the Hall of Fame game tomorrow in the NFL. Preseason will be rolling through the month, and then camp begins for a lot of teams in college football today as well. And I know the business of college football has been a fairly dark cloud that has hovered over the sport with conference alignment and realignment and who's going where, who's staying put. And the Pac-12 is in a really, really bad situation, really bad situation. They don't have a media deal, and they don't have a media deal that's good. And so there's been talks that they have a deal with Apple to stream the games. But the reality is that they wanted to get involved in an ESPN Fox sort of media rights that would be so attractive to either, one, persuade other schools to join them or to keep other schools from leaving. And that looks like it is going to be happening. There was a meeting in Arizona between the regions in Arizona State and Arizona. They had a meeting about this behind closed doors, and they could determine the fate of this conference. And it's a really interesting situation, and it's playing out as if these two schools, I mean, you're talking Phoenix and Tucson, and two schools that have been in part of this conference since 1978, they could be the schools that signal the end of the Pac-12. The Pac-12 could disband these teams, these other teams in the conference, Washington State, Cal, Stanford, Utah, Oregon State, could all be jettisoning for other conferences. If the decision by Arizona and Arizona State to leave the conference. Now, there is a belief that the powers that be in the state would like both Arizona and Arizona State to leave together if they leave at all. Not one go to the Big Ten and the other go to the Big 12 or whatever that may look like. They want them to leave together. That is something Oklahoma, for example, did not do. Now, even though there was a lot of cries in the Oklahoma system to get both Oklahoma and Oklahoma State to leave together if you're going to leave, but instead, Bedlam, the series that they play every single year, is now dead. And as Mike Gundy pointed out, it's not dead because of Oklahoma State. It's dead because Oklahoma left. But here's the interesting scenario here. If you are the decision makers that are going to be voting whether or not Arizona State and Arizona move, you are killing the conference. And who wants to be the decision maker that kills the conference? Even if it's better for you to leave, right? The president of Arizona State is Michael Crow, right? If you make a decision, and he's one of the vocal supporters of the Pac-12, okay? But if he's getting outside influence to leave the Pac-12 and Arizona joins them, and they do go together to the Big Ten, or they go together to the Big 12, whatever it may be, Are they going to want to have a legacy of killing the Pac-12? Now, the Pac-12 is killing itself. It's killing itself because of their inability to get a media right. This is how crazy it is. When the Big 12 was dying, that wasn't that long ago, kids. Remember that when it was Oklahoma and Texas were leaving? And everybody was like, what is the Big 12 going to do? Two of the juggernaut teams within that conference are leaving. And you can only survive with TCU for so long, right? It looked like that conference was on death's door. What did it do? How did it try to survive? How did Bob Bowlesby at the time try to survive it? They went to the Pac-12 and they were asking, would you like to merge the conferences together? Would you like to create a super conference? And the Pac-12 said no. Well, guess what the Pac-12 just did? They went to the Big 12 and said, would you like to form a super conference? And the Big 12 said, nah, I think we're good. There is a new way of doing business here. And now with commissioners, Brett Yormark and George Kalikoff, their only thing that they should be wondering is what media deal they are getting. That is the gift that keeps on giving. Once you have a great media deal, then you become very enticing. The Pac-12 couldn't land San Diego State. Why couldn't they land San Diego State? Is San Diego State happy being in the Mountain West, a non-Power 5 conference? What is it? Why couldn't San Diego State leave? Well, San Diego State couldn't leave because there was no media deal by the Pac-12, so they didn't know what they were walking into. And when the deadline came, it doubled the exit fee for getting out of the Mountain West Conference. It went from $17 million to $34 million. And I'm telling you right now, there isn't a school out there that would pay $34 million to get out of the Mountain West Conference to jump to the Pac-12 without any sort of idea of what the media deal is going to do. If you're going to pay $34 million to go into something that will pay you $50, you can survive it. But if you're not going to pay $34 million to exit a conference to go to one where the media rights is streaming on Apple. Now, again, I think streaming is going to have a place in this. I think streaming is the new way we're going to be consuming sports. I'm not knocking it. But right now in 2023, it is not the best media rights deal you can get. That might come down the road when everybody's streaming. Eventually, we'll be buying 100 services to get games. But today, if you can still extrapolate money from Fox, if you can still take money from ESPN, if you can still take money from CBS, if you can still find a network or cable partner, that is what you have to do. I'm sorry. I love Pac-12 After Dark, but I don't know if I would subscribe to Apple TV. I already subscribed to Apple TV, but I don't know if I would just for Pac-12 football.
No, it's not enticing enough, right?
Right. I mean, I don't have a team I root for there. And I might want to watch Oregon Stanford on a middle of the night on a Saturday. But you know what? It may just be, you know, I'm not going to pay $9 a month or whatever it is for shows I don't really want to watch. And I don't really need this. That's the problem. If it's on television and I'm paying for television anyway, click, there it is. Like I said, I know streaming will have a place. Don't send me arguments that I'm missing the future. I get
you're old, Tony.
But 2023 is not the year to be thinking streaming only is going to work.
Well, no, but it needs to be a little bit more too. That's the problem that I have is that, you know, yeah, there's, you know, I still haven't gotten into a whole lot of shows on, you know, these various streaming networks where, you know, it's like, oh, I'm into this show, like Apple TV. I'm into Ted Lasso, but yeah. There's nothing really else for me. And, you know, it's again, I mean, Pac-12 isn't going to sell me on it.
I'm not. I'm likely not to keep it. I mean, I'm like I don't. I got it for Ted Lasso. Now that Ted Lasso is done, I'm kind of. All right, do I cancel it?
Yeah.
There's some other great people tell me there's some other great shows.
Oh, I'm sure there are.
They say there's some sure shows that are fantastic.
But that's the problem now is that, you know, there's great shows on all these streaming services.
I can't buy everything. I can't subscribe to everything. Everyone. It's so funny how they get you, isn't it?
Yeah,
they go,
that?
The cable bill is $200 a month. And they go, well, get this and then get all the streaming services. And now you're paying $230 a month.
Yeah.
You know?
At least, you know, like Amazon Prime's like, you know, okay, we have an Amazon Prime account because it's the best way to get goods. You know, I mean, the shipping is usually free. And so you're not always, you're just paying for whatever it is that you're buying. The NFL partnering up with Amazon, perfect. Thank you. That's not, yeah. I mean, that, yeah, I'm getting, I'm not watching Amazon Prime TV shows, and I don't know if, you know, the NFL having a Thursday night game would be enough for me to get Amazon Prime by itself, but since I already subscribed to it because I'm using other services, I mean, maybe that's what Apple needs to do.
Yeah, maybe so.
Is there other services that I could utilize you for besides, you know, $1,000 iPad? I don't need that.
I know a little bit of this business of sports can be a little boring, but in order for people to understand why it is that their favorite college program is now got Alabama on its schedule, right, and that they never had before, or the school is now thinking about joining a conference that is nowhere near where it exists if you're a UCLA and USC fan, is to understand what this is all about. USC is not moving to the Big Ten because of competition. They're not moving to the Big Ten because, you know, the volleyball team would be in a better place. They're moving to the Big Ten because the Big Ten is offering an unbelievable amount of money that it's getting from its media rights. That's what this is about, because you can't operate a major college program without it. I'm sorry, ticket sales for gymnastics is not working to fund the program. What funds the programs is this. You are funding renovations to any facility that you have. You are funding the Olympic sports, the track and field, the gymnastics, everything else, swimming, everything else that is a non-revenue generating sport. How they travel, where they go, all of this is funded through this kind of stuff. If you are talking about benefits to the athletes, how much, you know, where the food, the supplements, everything that they need, the training, all of that is coming from this. It's a cost that continues to go up and up and up, right? You get, as air travel increases, right? The hotel accommodations, food, right? All of these things, renovations, all of that thing is costing more and more money. You have to find this revenue somewhere, and you find it through the media rights. It's the old days of the regionalism of college athletics is now thrown out the window. My wife actually pointed this out because she saw a picture of the SEC, right? And it was a map of the SEC and what it looks like. And she looks at it and she's like, this is not even the Southeast. I go, I know, right. I know, I know. I said, that's what it's become. It's not the Southeast anymore. These names are ridiculous. Don't call it the Southeastern Conference. Don't call it the Atlantic Coast Conference. These are irrelevant.
Don't call it the Big Ten. Now. You have more than 10.
Don't call it the Big Ten. Don't call it the Big 12. Like, you're going to have to start changing these names because the names have they're nothing but tradition. And since we're getting rid of these traditional rivalries, we might as well get rid of these names.
You know what it reminds me of hockey.
Right.
Remember they had the Norris Division?
Right, right. Just name it after famous people and call it that. Call it a day. Goodness. All right. Good, the Bad, and the Dumb is coming up next. It's Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
Ah, it is the good, the bad, and the dumb. Good Wednesday to you as we continue. It's Wake Up Call, SportsMap Radio. Again on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. All right, we give you the good, the bad, and the dumb. What is the good of the day?
The good of the day. I got to set some music here, too, because right, I just like want this playing in the background while I'm saying this, because my good of the day is about these two guys, all right, who embarked on an incredible two-week vacation, I guess, or something. Hopefully you recognize the song, too.
Of course.
They went and visited every Margaritaville in North America.
Well,
This does, too, is it makes me jealous.
It does?
Because I think you and I need to do something like this.
I do, too. I've always wanted to do something kind of similar.
You know,
I don't know about Margaritaville,
but two years ago, they did all the rainforest cafes.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like fun.
So, I mean, now all we got to do is just pick a restaurant where, you know, there's not, you know, I don't need to be like a mainstream restaurant where there's hundreds of them.
Right.
You know, you got to find something small like this. You know, maybe it's like a Hard Rock.
Okay. Why Margaritaville? Did they say why? They didn't like it?
No, I mean,
there's a Margaritaville in Nashville.
Yeah, they were there.
Is it
in Nashville or is it in Pigeon Forge?
It's on Broadway.
Okay. So then there's another one, I guess, in Pigeon Forge.
That's like 3 hours away.
They had some fun there as well. They said the best one, though, the best food was one in Oklahoma.
Oh, okay.
But the friendliest staff came in Atlanta.
Atlanta, okay.
Yeah, but there was something I remember.
They did this in 2 weeks?
Yeah, 24 days.
That's not bad.
And that's the reason why I remember Pigeon Forge, because Pigeon Forge, one of the guys hit a mental break, and he didn't know if he could finish it.
Oh, I got you.
But he
Pigeon
pushed
Forge
on.
Pigeon Forge, that's where Dollywood is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I saw the story. I was like, can we do this?
There's the Margaritaville brand is rather fascinating.
Oh, it's huge.
I've been finding more and more that they have a retirement community. There's a whole retirement department that's based on, because
I guess the first one was in Key West, so I'm going to assume that it's somewhere down in Florida. Like,
so they like it's, you know how like they have the Villages, which is like, oh, come retire here at the Villages where you can play, you can salsa dance at noon and play bocce at 3 o'clock.
Yeah,
and, you know, go line dance, like. they have a place like that. You buy a house in this community. It's the Margaritaville community. And then they have a cruise ship, Margaritaville at Sea.
Really?
There's a whole, they branched out, the whole brand.
See, I know in here in Texas, on one of the lakes that's outside of Houston. And when I say outside of Houston, I'm talking about you wouldn't know that you left Houston, but it's technically in a different town. There's a Margaritaville Resort.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
It has a huge like water park attached to it.
That's fantastic.
On a lake. It just looks like so much fun.
So, yeah. So, there you go. I mean, fantastic. Somebody went up to Jimmy Buffett and was like, we'd like to do this around Margaritaville.
So, we need to figure out what restaurant should we go to and do a nationwide tour of.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Anybody's got any suggestions for the show tour?
Yeah.
Hit me up on Twitter. What would be a good one?
How much fun? I don't want it to be like, you should go visit all the Chili's in North America. No, because we don't have that much time.
No.
We're talking, these guys picked a restaurant. There's only, I guess there's 24 of them in North America. I had to say North America because there is one in Canada just on the other side of the border.
Oh, okay.
In Niagara Falls. So
they went
to that one as well.
Can you imagine driving? Like the next one is like, a 500 miles away or something. You're like, I'm driving all the way there to go eat a Margaritaville and leave. Yeah, good for them. That's pretty awesome. But it reminds me of people who are like, I want to go to every ballpark in America.
Yeah, I'm willing to do that. That is on a bucket list to take an entire summer and do that.
There was a guy when I was in minor league basketball. There was a guy that we got a media request, a ticket request. From a guy that was trying to see a sporting event every day for 365 days straight. And he was traveling, and it didn't matter what it was. It could have been a high school baseball game. He didn't care. He wanted to be in attendance of something every day for 365 straight days. And then he was going to put it on a blog or whatever it was. And one of the things that he wanted to do was attend our minor league basketball game. We gave him a ticket. We said, sure, why not? Absolutely, it'd be fun. I was like, how hard is that? Like you literally every day you're like looking for something to attend. So, but he was backed by somebody who was doing like the advance work for him.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like he was doing it on his own. It was like I got it from a company that came in and said, hey, our guy is doing this thing. I think he's maybe writing a book. I don't know. But can you, on Tuesday, can you leave a ticket for him?
See, that's what part of the issue is, because you see, like, you know, our buddy Lee Ellis.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, just came up with a brilliant idea. And he's been traveling the globe. You know, he says, I just want to do a story on pickup basketball games, find out their take on NBA. I mean, what a fantastic idea.
It's amazing.
And then I see this one where it's 21 locations. They did it in 24 days. I'm like, yeah, that would just be 24 days. That's long enough. But I think that would be fun.
That'd be great. Super. That's great.
So, yeah, let us know. What restaurant chain should we visit? It has to be a small amount, not these gigantic.
On the rise.
I don't want somebody to come at me. He's like, hey, you should visit every McDonald's. We don't have, five years.
Doing that one. Right, exactly. All right, what is the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is the No Fun League is still.
NFL?
It's still at it again, yeah.
What are they doing now?
Well, apparently a couple years ago, Dan Campbell, our soon-to-become best friend, Campbell.
Yeah, good friend Dan Campbell.
I don't know if we even talked about this, and if we didn't, shame on us, but I'm pretty certain we did. He thought it would be really cool to have a live pet lion on the field.
Oh, okay. I saw this, but I don't think we talked about it. Yeah.
So that was 2 years ago, and I actually... I have his comments. I'll just play a little bit of it for you, because I mean it's this is why he's going to become our new best friend.
I'll tell you what I would really love to do, just in general, and I've talked to Sheila about this. I don't think we're going to be able to do it, but I would love to literally just have a pet lion, just a legit pet lion on a chain, a big ass chain, and he really is my pet. We just walk around the building, we go out to practice, we're in 7-on-7, we're behind the kicker when he's kicking, we're just on.
So, but the reason why I'm saying the No Fun League, because he was recently asked, how's the search going, or how's the mission going of getting a pet lion? He said Sheila, and Sheila is the owner of the Lions. She's totally on board.
She totally wants a lion walking around.
She said that she has no problems with that whatsoever. It's the NFL. He stopped short of pointing the finger at Roger, but he said the NFL is kind of frowning upon it.
Well, I kind of think so, but I kind of wish they could. I mean, would they need like Joan Embry like to be walking around with the lion?
Right.
This is a lion. Now they're the king of the jungle.
Did they have one at one time?
Anything. If you go to LSU, there's a tiger in a cage.
Right.
Why can't the lions?
If you go
have
to University of Texas, you got a longhorn on the field.
There's Ralphie the buffalo. Like
yeah.
Like why can't there be a with all the money this league has? Why can't they go? We're going to build a lion thing. Like, you can come to practice and watch them, but not like a cage, like a zoo. Like, I mean, like a, it's got water and it's got a little play area and it's got a little tree and a little rock to sleep on.
Can't you build that into their training facility?
And then what we do every day is we shoot it with a tranquilizer gun so it won't kill everybody. And then we walk it around on a leash.
I'm just curious. Do the Falcons have a falcon?
They might. Flying around inside that dome.
Or do the Eagles have an eagle?
Eyes out.
No, but I mean, they probably wouldn't scoff at the idea of like, oh yeah, we got a falcon.
Didn't the Miami Dolphins have like a dolphin in the 70s in a tank?
Wow, or was that just you mixing it up with Ace Ventura?
Was I thinking it was Ace Ventura?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ray Finkel.
No, because look, we all know this, that when a lion decides your food, you're dead.
Yes.
So. You know, that's it.
But, you know, let that be, you know, a lesson learned. Let's have a lion right now.
What's that actor's name? Ibis Elba?
Yeah.
I just saw a movie with him in it called Beast, where he was defending his children from a rogue lion. It was so frightening. This lion was like, I'm coming after you. You can't talk your way out of this.
I mean, the next James Bond?
Yeah.
Unconfirmed.
Yeah, right, that's right. Like there was a guy and he was like staring at this lion and you can't talk your way, you can't convince him to leave you alone.
No.
Have you made wants to eat you, it's eat you.
We've seen that video of when that woman got out of the car to argue with her husband, the lion snatched her and took her away.
Yeah.
I mean, it popped up on my feed the other day. It's like, it's been 2 years since this lady came. I was just like, first of all, I mean, why did you ever get out of the car? Second of all, if I'm being yelled at by my wife, the husband, he did everything he could to go get her.
That's, God bless.
I don't know why, but I believe Dan Campbell can handle a lion.
Yeah.
I think that's the other thing the factor you needed to consider. I couldn't handle a lion.
Oh, no.
But Dan Campbell could.
Dan Campbell could. Very good. All right, we'll have the dumb when we come back. And Pat Donovan is going to join us, and we'll talk to him about the Buccaneers as we preview yet another team in our NFL previews.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, Pat Donovan is going to join us in 15 minutes to talk Buccaneers, continue our NFL previews. It's NFC South week. Not the most exciting division, but somebody's got to win it. And the Buccaneers lost a ton of people. We'll get to the dumb coming up here in the good, the bad, and the dumb. So the dumb of the day, Ron Culver.
Well, you know what? Since we have an entire segment of dumb, I added a second one because this one's been making the rounds. But my first original dumb, we just have to talk about this because it's another AI story.
Oh, another AI story.
Yeah, okay. And this one is really concerning. It's concerning experts, Tony. Right. I don't know if I've ever said that an AI issue is concerning experts.
Bothering people? Yeah, sure.
And this one is that AI might have a race problem.
Like being racist?
Yeah.
AI? Okay.
And the reason why their experts are concerned about it is because AI pretty much gathers information from what has happened before and comes up and formulates its own idea of what's going to happen in the future. And that's what AI basically is. And so when it gathers all the information, whether it's good and bad, it doesn't differentiate between good and bad. It just gathers all the information.
Yeah. You have to tell AI what is
right.
You know what? But once standards,
but once it becomes fully aware, without our help, it starts to learn all the tendencies.
Gotcha.
Of humanity, I guess. And one of them is that it can develop a race problem.
So it's learning, basically what's happening is it's learning our human behavior.
Uh-huh.
And then
the good and,
then,
and the bad.
And saying it, yeah. Well, I'm not surprised by that.
Nah, I know.
You know.
But I just thought it was something else to add to our growing concerns with AI is that now, you know, AI could become racist.
How does AI
It doesn't
know.
It doesn't know it's being racist. That's the problem.
The problem that AI has is there's no morality behind anything it does.
Right.
Right? It doesn't have a moral compass. It doesn't have a sense of some universal right or wrong, right? So basically, look at nature, for example, right? I'm not trying to get all philosophical here. But I remember I saw this documentary on that Grizzly Man guy that we've talked about before, Timothy yeah. Treadwell. And I saw this documentary on him, and there was a dead fox. He found a dead fox in the field, and he started crying on camera. And he was talking about how this is just not right. This fox is beautiful. This is a beautiful fox. It's dead. And the documentary guy kind of pointed out, like, no, this is what it is. Like, this is nature. This is what happens. There's no moral code here. There's just survival of the fittest and eat what you can, and you're stronger than the fox, you kill the fox. That's how AI kind of works. Like, we're the ones that kind of go, hey, we shouldn't do this, and we shouldn't do this, and there's a higher thing. AI doesn't understand that. And so when you ask AI to do something or present something, it could present you some horrible stuff. It doesn't mm-hmm. know. You could see images you shouldn't be seeing with AI because AI doesn't know. If you say to it to give you like a picture of something, it might give you a picture of something that's like, this is pornographic or whatever. Like it could be a point. Because it doesn't know. It just says this is what it is. So somebody has to teach it that. So how do they teach it that? How do they teach it that?
And I guess in a way, you also have to assume that AI wants or has a willingness to learn.
Right.
Because right. I don't know if they do.
It's kind of the – isn't that like – I don't know. But I would think that that's the purpose is AI is always evolving.
Yeah.
Right, it's taking in information as it comes.
Well, I mean, it's I hate to bring it up because I know it's a movie scenario, but that's what happened in the Avengers.
Sure,
With Ultron, right. It was an AI, and it became self-aware and realized that Earth or humans were causing their own destruction. So he decided to just speed it up because that was the path that they were taking, and he's just assisting them in speeding up their own destruction, their own
there's
death.
There's a million things about this that yeah. is positive, and then there's like. The two or three things that are negative should make us just pull the plug.
Exactly.
Like, it's like, well, we'll be able to analyze data research for cancer and all these things that you think it's going to do to make the world better. And then it'll like, yeah, but then it also could shut down the global bank.
Right.
Nobody has any money. It could turn off the power grid and we'll all freeze to death in the winter. Like, it's like anything that whatever good could come out of it, there's always a negative that scares me to death. All right, what was the second dumb?
The second dumb, I mean, I wasn't really going to bring this up. I kind of mentioned it to you during a break, but I'm seeing it like more and more and more, and that's this Somalian sprinter.
Okay.
Her name,
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, her name is Nasra Ali Abukar.
Okay.
Right? And she ran the 100 meters in an international competition. It was the World University Games, which are being held in China. And she has gone viral because she may have posted the slowest time ever in the 100-meter dash.
Okay. Well, first of all, what's a good time in the 100-meter dash?
Good time is probably around, for women's.
Yeah.
I would say I think the world record might be just above 10 seconds.
Just above 10 seconds? Okay.
So I would say, a good time would probably be between 10 and 12 seconds.
All right. So, okay.
The winner of the race, I think she posted something just above 11 seconds.
Okay.
Which is, and she was flying. She looked like she was a sprinter, and it was, a good race. Nasra Ali Abukar posted a time of 21.8 seconds.
Was she walking?
Pretty much.
Was she taking pictures?
Yeah, and that's part of the problem is that when she got across the finish line, you could see her do a little bit of a skip, like, I tried.
Okay, is there a larger thing to this? Like, did she try to do that?
Where the larger issue is coming in, and there's a full-blown investigation going on in Somalia, is that they all believe that nepotism was involved in her selection.
Okay.
That she, in fact, is the niece of Somalia Athletics vice president. I don't know. I can't say this name.
She got all the perks of going
yeah. and, you know, doing the whole, you know, I'm sure it's a, even though it's a university games, I'm sure there's a parade of nations, if you will, staying in the village. I mean, you know, I'm sure it's like, I'm picturing in my head a miniature Olympics. And then, you know, you get all the free gift bags and things like that.
Wow.
Or just the free perks of, hey, you know, we're going to send you on a trip to China. All you got to do is run 100 meters.
Yeah.
And, and don't stink at it. And the problem is, the video, I mean, the video is really bad. Because even when she gets out of the gate, out of the starting blocks, she is well behind within the first three steps.
Got it.
The rest of the field is just cooking.
So it sounds like she was kind of just enjoying the moment and
yeah.
not really caring that she was going to run
nah,
as hard as she can.
No, nah, I figured, I mean, if I was her, you know, or, you know, if I guess if I was the vice president of Somali Athletics, I might have told her, said, hey, when you get out, pull a cramp.
Yeah, right. Just at least be injured.
Yeah.
Because if here's the choice. You could be injured and get to the finish line. People will praise you for finishing.
Right.
That's how we do that in this country or the world. We love those stories. We love the stories of the athletes. Like, I'm getting to that finish line. I don't care. I'll crawl if I have to, but I'm going to finish this race.
Because if you don't, there's going to be a full-blown investigation.
Skip and you just go, I don't know. It was kind of fun to, like, I used that 100 meters as I really soaked it all in, this fantastic trip.
But it really is. There's a little skip at the end when she crossed that finish line, like,
nice.
Almost had it.
Crazy. Crazy. All right, that's a good, the bad, and the dumb. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio. Philip on Twitter, we were talking earlier about Oklahoma State and Oklahoma. The Oklahoma State schedule is just going to look weird, not having OU on the menu. I'll be in Stillwater for the game this year, and it's going to be huge. Gundy has taken a lot of heat from somebody saying regarding Bedlam. I think that's going to be – Philip, I think you've got one of the best tickets in college football this upcoming. The final Bedlam game between Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. That is going to be electric. And Gundy is taking some heat for his comments, but he's 100% right. Oklahoma left, and because Oklahoma left, it maybe down the road they'll get the rivalry game, Clemson and South Carolina. But that's not on him to make that happen.
Or will it end up like Texas A&M?
Yeah, where it just disappears.
They just disappeared, and then like they decided it's like, well, okay, let's have it this year.
Yeah,
but you're going to be one of those rotating teams that we do every, you know, 10, 15 years. Is that Oklahoma State now? Because that's sad.
That's going to happen. Yeah, it is sad. I don't like when rivalries die for no reason.
Especially for a state. And I know Philip will agree with me. Those are the only two schools in Oklahoma.
Yeah, that's right. Tulsa, Oral Roberts. They're not playing on that level.
Well, I've never heard of them.
Yeah. Tulsa plays football. Oral Roberts does not.
Yeah. So, that doesn't count.
Right. Hefty Lefty on Twitter. I love that people are going after Lloyd when she's literally the most qualified person to criticize this squad, talking about the women's U.S. national team. She was on the same team 2 years ago and has more time with the squad than the current coach does. Yeah, I think people, again, people are, she has every right to do this.
Great comment.
Very great comment. She has every right to do this. I think people are being too sensitive on her comments. They are not hurtful. They are the truth. This team is not playing well. And she has every right to say that. She has more currency in this program than the coach does. And so she should be able to say, hey, wait, this is not good. This is not good. And again, respect that team for what it could do, what was expected to do. It's not living up to expectations. It is okay to point that out. All right, it's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
Getting ready to hook up with Pat Donovan, WDAE, in Tampa on the Buccaneers. So I've been trying to sell you guys this week this division as interesting, not for its excellence, but just interesting. Because somebody's going to win it, and somebody's going to host a playoff game. Buccaneers have got Baker Mayfield, Desmond Ridder in Atlanta, Derek Carr in New Orleans, Bryce Young in Carolina. Somebody's going to win this division. What about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Our good friend Pat Donovan, WDAE in Tampa, on our Progressive guest line. Progressive Insurance, round out your protection with life, phone, and pet health insurance. Visit them for a quote at progressive.com. How are you, my friend?
I am well. And, Tony, I know you know this, but if you haven't mentioned or reminded your listeners today, the first division since 1973 where every team has a new starter. So
yeah.
For me, it makes it hard to make anybody the clear favorite, right?
Without question, without question. All right, let's get to the last season. All right, it's a final year of Tom Brady. Ryan Jensen goes down in training camp with an injury. But what was wrong with the Buccaneers last year? Why couldn't they separate themselves from a relatively weak pack?
A lot was wrong with the Buccaneers, and part of it was that offensive line and how many injuries they dealt with up front. And they dealt with injuries really all over the football field. They were kind of ravaged last year. But part of that also, to be honest with you, and I think I may have said this to you before and during last season, Tony, we talk about a lot of times when a wide receiver is going over the middle and he sees that safety coming down on him and he makes that quote-unquote business decision, right?
Yeah.
Well, I think Tom Brady made a lot of business decisions last year, my friend. He threw the ball short of the sticks constantly. A lot of balls thrown right at the ground. He wasn't going to put his body at risk and take the kind of punishment that he could have to risk it when I don't think he trusted his offensive line and the Buccaneers' ability to go deep into the season. And because of that, I think we saw Tom make a lot of business decisions, which is what makes this year really interesting, right? Because if Baker Mayfield ends up being the guy, you've almost got the complete opposite end of that spectrum. A guy in Tom Brady who had nothing left to prove last season versus a guy in Baker Mayfield who is fighting for his life as a starter in this league. If he ends up the starter, it's the complete opposite, right? So he'll take some chances that Tom just wouldn't last year.
Two questions on Mayfield. One, what have you noticed from his attitude? Or this is a chance to get a rebirth. It was Carolina was another one. Fourth team, though, in a very short career. But correct me if I'm wrong. Weren't the Buccaneers interested in him like when Brady retired like the first time and then came back? Wasn't there rumblings that they had an interest in him when he was with Cleveland?
There were some rumblings, and clearly that, you know, it played out that way, that they did end up going and signing Baker Mayfield. But yeah, I mean, this guy's a former first overall pick, and a guy that I think a lot of people believe in the right situation might be able to kind of rebirth his career. And I think it's interesting because we talked about this not long ago on our show. Does this ever happen if he doesn't go to Los Angeles and do what he did in such
sure.
a short period of time with the Rams?
Great
if
point.
Not, he may not have an opportunity, right, to win a starting job this year. But once he did, I think he looked at the Buccaneers as a place where they still have a lot of talent that they won with Tom Brady. And at the end of the day, could be a place where if it works, he could be here for a long time. So I think he saw all that and said, you know what, this is the place where it's worth taking a shot. And when it comes to his personality, his attitude, you know what, he's been fantastic. I absolutely love everything we've got out of Baker Mayfield off the field. And I'm excited to see if he does end up starting what he's going to do. Although right now, I think he's got a bigger battle on his hand for the position than most people expected him to.
Yeah, Kyle Trask is fighting for that job too, correct?
That's right, yeah. Kyle Trask, who, of course, the Buccaneers took in the second round a couple years ago and has been the third-string quarterback behind Tom Brady and Blaine Gabbert the last couple of seasons. But that's just because the team looked at Blaine Gabbert as the obvious guy to fill in short time if, God forbid, Tom Brady had gotten hurt. But now's Kyle's opportunity to prove he can be a starter in this league. I don't think the team had a ton of faith that that would be the case, and I think that's why they brought in somebody to compete with him. But he's been really good. Well, look, it's early, right? But he's been really good in camp. Baker has thrown, I believe, 6 interceptions so far, whereas Kyle has thrown just 1. And if he can keep that kind of efficiency, he's lost 15 pounds. He's more athletic. If he can show some of the things he's shown early in camp in the preseason, he's going to make the decision very interesting for the Buccaneers.
They have a lot of players from last year that are not on this team. Some of it's probably financial. Some of it's probably we won't miss you. Is there anyone they miss? Is there anyone that they could have kept, should have kept, and now they're here that's going to be a hard hole to fill?
I think they're absolutely going to miss Tom Brady, obviously, and I know that wasn't really the question, right? But some of the other guys, I think, listen, at the end of the day, there's some players that they're going to miss maybe a little bit, right? But I love, you know, the move when it comes to, you know, figuring it out at safety for Ryan Neal, who, of course, comes over from Seattle. And a lot of people probably don't realize this, Tony, and I didn't, to be honest with you, when the Bucs first signed him. But after he took over for Jamal Adams in Seattle from weeks 5 to 17, the highest rated safety in the NFL from Pro Football Focus. And I don't necessarily take everything they say as gospel, but I pay attention and they do a good job. So when I see in their mind the highest rated safety in the NFL, an underrated offseason signing, but at the end of the day, this was the old, and it wasn't just Tom Brady, right? This was the oldest team in the NFL, and they needed to get younger, they needed to get faster, and hopefully that's what they've done over the offseason, because it is definitely going to be a team that has a lot of question marks heading into the season. You're talking about an offensive line, Tony, that is completely rebuilt. Ryan Jensen played in just a little bit of a playoff game last year, but missed the entire season. Other than that, Tristan Wirfs, who's been unbelievable, goes from right tackle to left tackle. So you've basically got five new starters across the offensive line, and you know how long it takes to build continuity in a group like that.
New offensive coordinator, a lot of new parts on offense. How much did this team need that? How much did they need a new voice, a breath of fresh air? You mean the greatest quarterback to ever play is no longer there? Did it also mean a rehauling of the offense?
Well, it definitely needed it, and it wasn't really just about Tom Brady not being here anymore. Had Tom decided to come back, I think the Buccaneers still would have gone in another direction. Now, would it have been Dave Canales and this kind of run-focused offense that he's going to bring over from Seattle that's going to make them a lot more balanced than they've been in years? I'm not sure about that, but they absolutely needed a new direction. There was some disagreement last year between Byron Leftwich and Todd Bowles, who wanted to run the football a lot more than the Buccaneers did, and with Dave Canales, they're going to do that this season. So I think they did need a new offensive coordinator, and I'm very interested / excited to see what Dave Canales does. And, you know, you're not going to be the same play caller as the guy that you learned under, although you're bringing over a very similar offensive system. So it's interesting because Dave Canales has never called plays. At any level, he's never been a play caller. He's absolutely, obviously his work as a quarterback's coach, if you want to tie that to what Geno Smith had last year, is fantastic, but he's done nothing to prove that he can be a good offensive coordinator in this league. I've got absolutely no reason to trust him, but for some reason, Tony, I just do. There's something about Dave's energy, the way that he approaches life, the way that he approaches practice. He was talking yesterday about the game and just had this bleep-eating grin on his face. And it reminds me of the bleep-eating grin that I get when football comes back. He loves it, and I have no reason to, Tony, but I trust that this guy's going to be fantastic. His energy is just infectious.
All right, I got a minute, but I do want to ask you this. How much of the excitement, all right, there's a lot of changes, and we don't know, but the fact of the matter is, if they were in a lot of divisions, it might be, all right, third, fourth. This is a winnable division for all four of these teams. There is nothing that's popping for any of these four teams. How much of the excitement around this is a division where there is so much unknown? Somebody's got to win this thing.
It helps. It absolutely helps, Tony. I'd say the same thing, man, about the Buccaneers as I would tell you about any team in this division. I won't be surprised if they're way better than people think and win this division. And I won't be surprised if they stink. And I'd say it about all four teams in the South.
Absolutely.
It's really fascinating.
Pat, always good talking to you, my friend. It is that time of the year, so we will be continuing our conversations. Thanks, my man.
Anytime.
You got it. Pat Donovan on the great station WDAE in Tampa on the Buccaneers. And like he said, it does allow every single one of these fan bases, every single one of them in this division, to be optimistic about where they're going to end up. Try that if you're in Denver, right? Try that if you're in New England. Try that if you're in Pittsburgh. Try that if you're in Washington, right, where you're in tough divisions with teams that are going to Super Bowls or competing for Super Bowls with double-digit victories and the same stars that are back. No one's anticipating. This division is so wide open. He's right. The Buccaneers could finish first, fourth, third, second. Every one of these teams. Now you could look at like Atlanta and say Desmond Ridder and Bijan Robinson. Okay, they could be. You could look at Carolina with Bryce Young as a rookie and may find, all right, maybe that's a little less than others. But it's got to be a good feeling for these fan bases to go, are we winning 12 games? No. Are we winning 10? I don't even think we'll do that. But again, the prize is not be one of the top five teams in the NFC. The prize is you get to host a playoff game if you win this division, and we honestly don't care what record it takes for you to do that. If you can win this thing at 8-9 like the Bucks did last year, enjoy the home game, everybody. And that's got to be a little bit of excitement for all these fan bases that got a lot of questions.